Good morning to our listeners on Heart of the Matter. It's good to be with you this morning, and we have with us as our studio guests Ian and Anna Bartholomew, who are national coordinators for something called Precept Ministries of Scotland. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's really good to have you here with us. First of all, perhaps, Ian, I'll ask you just briefly to tell us what Precept Ministries means.
Well, Precept Ministries is a ministry that originated in America, but it's worldwide and is actually in about 140 or 150 countries across the globe. Anna and I have been involved in starting up Precept in Scotland the last 2.5 years now. The heart of the ministry is a desire for people to get to know God's word using a method called inductive Bible study, which is just a way of helping people to get stuck into God's word, into the Bible, and to see what God has got to say to them personally, and to see how that might apply in their lives. So it's a very personal thing, but a lot of people have found it really helpful just to allow them to actually unlock a book which many people find quite difficult to understand.
It's called Precept Ministries. I'm not sure I quite understand the word precept. Can you explain that?
In the book of Psalms, the longest psalm in the Bible is Psalm 119, and that is full of sentences like, I love your precepts, Lord, I want to learn more of your precepts. And its meaning to the heart cry of the writer of that psalm is, I want to get to know you, I want to know what pleases you, I want to know how to walk on planet Earth in a way that pleases you, God, and that will give me peace and joy in the life that I live. And the Bible is full of the answers to how we are to live, to receive that peace that we all long for, and to know the truth and the right way to live that brings us joy and joy to those around us. We just are here to encourage people and come alongside people to help them dig deeper into God's word. I like to think it's a bit like the seven dwarfs who, you know, we dig all day. It's hard work, but boy, they came back with sackfuls of jewels. And my experience is that the more we spend time digging into God's word, asking questions, why, what, where, when, how, who, of the words that we're reading, then we come out with treasures. Treasures that will set us free because of the truth we're learning, and treasures that we can share with our friends and our family.
Ian called this an inductive ministry, and an induction to me means a beginning, an introduction to something which is going to be quite big, because it's either the beginning of your job or something like that. What was your induction then to Bible ministry? Your personal induction.
Right. Well, I became a Christian when I was 8 years old. I was born to parents who were Christians, and my father was in the Royal Navy and was away a lot, and my mother each evening would be reading Bible stories to me using honeycomb notes, which back in the 1960s were one of the scripture union notes for children that were available. So I would be going to Sunday school on Sundays, and each evening I'd be having these Bible reading notes, and on one particular day, January the 10th, 1968, we were learning about heaven and hell. And I remember thinking, I don't want to go to hell. My mummy talked to me about that, and at the end of that evening, I had realised that I was a sinner, that the way I was living was not pleasing to God, and that I needed help. I needed rescuing from that. And I became a Christian. And on that very evening, my mother gave me a verse from the Bible in the Old Testament. It's Isaiah chapter 43, verses 1 and 2. And she gave me that verse and she said, now, Anna, I want you to write your name in that verse because this is God speaking to you. The words were, fear not, don't be afraid, for I have redeemed you, Anna. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you walk through the waters, they won't overwhelm you and the fire won't consume you. And the verses go on to show how much God loves us. But those verses were given me. And that started my love of God's word and my awareness of how relevant what God's word had to say was to me. And through my childhood, I grew and I went to lots of Christian camps as a child and had some very fine teaching from Bible study leaders as a child and as a teenager. And my love of God's word just grew and grew, the Old Testament and the New Testament. And then when I first was introduced to inductive Bible study, precept ministries Bible study, and induction in this respect means we go to the Bible first. We don't go to a book where someone else tells us what the Bible says. We actually open the Bible and we look at what the text is saying, word for word. And then we ask questions of the text like a journalist or a detective. We're observing what the text says. And then we start to understand what it means. And then we start to realize that we have to apply that in our own lives. It's no good just learning what God wants us to do if I then shut the book and say, oh, well, that's fine. But actually, no, God's starting to say, now, Anna, how are you going to apply that in your life? And since using the precept Bible study method, my Bible study, my love of Bible study, and my depth of Bible study has grown even deeper.
And you really have proved a lot of that in your life. And perhaps God is not without humour. You know, the verse that he gave you, first of all, was that the waters wouldn't consume you. And you went on to become the wife of a Navy officer, which is rather lovely.
Waited patiently for the Lord. Turned and heard my cry. Lifted me from the pit of despair. Out of the mud and the mire. Set my feet on solid ground. Steadied me as I walked along. A hymn of praise to my God came. As my God gave me a new song. Many will see what he has done and they will feel. They will put their trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. They will put their trust in the Lord. They will put their trust in the Lord. Their trust in the Lord. All the joys of those who trust the Lord.
was a recent studio guest, Gary Brotherston, with a track based on Psalm 40. Back now to Ruth, who is in conversation with Anna and Ian.
During your time as a wife of somebody who was travelling so much, did you have to prove God again and again in your isolation sometimes of being that Navy wife?
I certainly did, and the first year of marriage was a case in point because we got married, we had our honeymoon, and then Ian went away for 7 months deployment to the Gulf. I managed to fly out and join him for Christmas, and we had a few precious days together in Dubai. I was aged just 22, having a Christmas birthday, and then he was on his way home after that 7 month deployment, and the Falklands War started, and his ship, being a survey vessel and white, had a Red Cross painted on it, and they were turned round and sent down to the war where they were rescuing people under cover of darkness from San Carlos water. And suddenly I was listening on the radio as I drove back from my teaching practice each evening to the ships that had been torpedoed and what was happening. And I remember just crying out to God. I felt like a piece of string that was being pulled in both directions and was ready to snap. But when we had been married, we had had a prophecy at our wedding. We'd had someone who had felt that God had given them words for us specifically. And in that wedding prophecy that was shared at our wedding, again and again, God had said, "Together, you're going to do this. Together, you will praise my name. Together." And I remember saying to God in tears as I drove back home one evening, saying, "God, we haven't had any togetherness yet. No, I know Ian's coming back from that war." And praise God, he did. We were reunited 3 days before our first wedding anniversary.
Ian, that must have been quite a difficult time for you. You were a young husband, meant to be looking after your young wife, and here you are sent halfway around the world. What did you feel? How did your faith make your life real?
I think the environment in which you find yourself in a steel can with a pointy end, as it were, which moves around, is quite different as a Christian. And it requires perhaps different skills than you might be inclined to use, if you like, or the way you live your life. And I think in a ship where you're well known, it's a small ship, just over 100 people, and you're living together 24 hours a day, then very often it's how you live rather than what you say. I've always found that that is what has spoken to me. You've looked at people and you've wondered why it was that they acted in a particular way in a particular situation. And that's the thing that has really spoken to me through the years. It was the thing actually that spoke to me when I first became a Christian. Yes, I was hearing wonderful talks, but this was at a Scripture Union camp that I became a Christian. I was actually a helper at this camp. It was designed for 12 to 13 year old boys, in fact. So the message that was actually if you like, directed at them, spoke to me when I was 7 or 8 years older than them. It wasn't the words, it was the way the people who I was associating with lived their lives. It was the quality of what they were doing. And it's the same thing, I think, at sea, that this is talking without words. I think through one's naval career, very often that's the way it's needed to be. Actually, in the Falklands situation, I just feel that I could have been so much more effective, probably, in that situation. But I do remember one amazing man who came to our ship. He had been blinded on the flight deck of another ship by shrapnel, so his life had been just blighted and completely changed in the twinkling of an eye. There was a man who was next to him who was very badly injured, and they were helping each other. One of them would light a cigarette for the other, and so on, and it was lovely to see. But I wasn't quite sure what I could do. And in the end, we had these guys on board for a bit, and I would chip away in my cabin at a piece of timber. I cut a Bible verse, Hebrews 11:1, "Faith is the evidence of things not seen," into this chunk of wood. I gave it to this guy as he was taken off the ship in his stretcher in Montevideo, in fact, and they were all flown home from there to the UK for onward treatment. And I just gave it to him, and I don't know what happened, but I hope that he was able to trace those words with his fingers cut into the wood for that truth, even though he couldn't see, that faith was something that was there and available to him.
Ian, as you moved up through the ranks of the Navy, did you find it more and more difficult to share your faith, given that the Navy, like any military operation, would, I think, be fairly unaccepting, perhaps, of a deep faith?
I think in some ways, as you move up, then you maybe begin to have a slightly thicker skin. Also, I guess, perhaps the privilege of being slightly further up the heap may actually give you a platform from which to operate. For instance, the first article of war requires commanding officers to have an act of worship on board. And so when I found myself in that position, then I was able to, if you like, direct that. And that was a great privilege. But I think that many people may feel that Christian faith and service in the military are not actually compatible. But for me, I found that actually my Christian faith helped me, I think, to be, I hope, more effective in the way that I operated within this armed service. And I would like to feel that it made me perhaps a bit more compassionate, a bit more understanding of the people with whom I was working. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 talks about the body, and it talks about the various members of the body. And I remember thinking about the people in my ship who all had different roles, but the ship would not operate without every single one of them actually pulling his weight and doing what he had to do. And if any one of those people was not doing what was necessary, then everybody was going to suffer. And I found that so helpful, such a helpful picture for me personally, realizing that it doesn't really matter what it is that we're doing, as long as we're doing it with our whole heart and actually contributing to whatever that entity is, where we're working perhaps, or whether it's in the home with our family or whatever it is. For me, it was the ship. And for me, it didn't matter whether, you know, it was perhaps the lowliest stoker, if you like, or the most elevated officer or whatever else. Everybody was necessary if that steamer was going to work and to do its job. So, and that was lovely. It was just a great picture of how everybody is important.
Sink or swim.
was a track from Healy, West Endra. It was called The Water is Wide. Back to Ruth, Ian and Anna Bartholomew.
You've exchanged a high-ranking 80-hour-a-week job for working in a charity that teaches the Bible. Some people would say that that's a huge step to make. What made you make that step?
I'm in the privileged position where I have a pension that means that I can actually take a reduction in salary and have the opportunity to focus on something which is important to my heart that I want to do. And Anna mentioned the beginning, just talking about the prophecy that we had at our wedding about together God had it in mind that we might do one or two things. Well, we often wondered over the years quite where that was coming from or going to, but this did seem an opportunity to actually get together and to do something that we both believed passionately in. We don't believe that we've reached the end of the road, as it were, and there may be many twists and turns in it.
Anna, I wanted to bring you in here because here you were, a wife in almost isolation, bringing up a family, and that must have been quite difficult. And then suddenly you had a husband 24/7. What did that feel like?
Yes, from being a single mum, being a grass widow.
Should I leave the room?
No, you can hear it all.
A life of feast and famine, you know. Yes, suddenly it was a big change, and it's had its moments because we are running the charity from a bedroom in our house. It has taken a lot of adjusting to, but it has been so precious and so thrilling to see how my husband and I complement each other in our gifting and in abilities as we have set up and started establishing this charity and coming alongside people and groups across Scotland in many different ways who want to dig deeper into God's word in this way. And I am awed by Ian's amazing managerial and administrative skills, and he is so encouraging and affirmative of my teaching and enabling and encouraging people skills. And together, we're just thrilled to be able to do it because, as I say, we've had a lot of separation in 28 years of marriage, but really we had at least 7 years apart during that time, particularly in the early years when Ian was away so much and I was bringing up the family a lot of the time on my own. So this is the crowning of years of longing to be together. But the reality is at times that you think, oh, I just would like some personal space.
Ian, if people would like to get in touch with Precept Ministries, how would they do that?
Well, I think the simplest way is going to be to go to the internet, and we have a website which is www.preceptscotland.org. And just to have a good look around there, there's lots and lots of information there about what inductive Bible study is about. There are what are called lightning studies that can be downloaded there. There is all sorts of different materials that are available to help you with Bible study. There's information about studies that can be done by email or on Skype. Lots of information if you want to find out more. And of course, our contact details are also there, so you can email us or telephone us if you've got anything that you want to talk about.
That's good, and I know that you have a long list of resources for those people who want to study the Bible and give people almost anything from Genesis to Revelation.
Yes, it's pretty complete.
Anna and Ian, thank you very much for being with us this morning. Thank you very much.